Not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And how we are all aware that the pressure is on, and it's because God faithfully is getting us to take back the land, the promised land, and it's just those giants that are opposing. But we have to remember that they are trespassing. This promised land doesn't belong to them. It is the overcomer's inheritance. And that's why we're here tonight, brothers and sisters, because we're entering into our inheritance, what Jesus wrought for us at Calvary. And we're learning this walk, we're learning to let go, we're learning just to keep our eyes on Jesus, because he is the one who goes before and fights. It can't be done any other way. And we won't know this unless we go through the trials and the testings in which to see our mighty God bringing about great deliverances. And he's doing this not only individually but corporately. And he's going to do it for India, he's going to do it for Kenya, he's going to do it for Full Gospel Assembly, and everything that we're facing, he's going to do it. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to encourage us tonight, and for those of us taking notes, we have a title for our teaching tonight. One is justified by works and not faith only. One is justified by works and not faith only. And we're going to see why we have that statement, that title, in James chapter 2 and verse 24, which I'm going to base this tonight, because it almost seems contrary to faith and justification. And this is why, of course, the book of James is quite a controversial book. There are many that try to keep the book of James out of the canon, simply on that grounds that it was legalistic, and it was trying to show that you can only be justified by works. But it's not what James actually says, and we're going to look at this tonight. And so in James chapter 2 verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And of course he recites and gives the accounts of Rahab and also of Abraham, of which we will look at later on. But was he a heretic? Was he going against the Apostle Paul's teaching? I think not. And God never makes a mistake. The 66 books that you hold in your hand, the Bible, God has made no mistake. That is the divine revelation needed for man, for his soul to be saved. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who has the final say, and not man or any decision or what people think. The Holy Spirit, he is sovereign, and that is why we can fully trust and depend on his sovereign work and his teaching. And the Holy Spirit is the one who comes to teach us, lead us, and guide us, because without him we can do nothing. Now, as I've said, this might seem contrary, but it's always faith first, because that is the gift of God. And James is not trying to contradict this. He's simply speaking in the context of what we're going to look here about faith and what faith does, the works of faith. And so he's simply speaking about this, that there are many who can speak and talk about faith, but he's saying, how do we know you're in faith? How do you know you have faith unless faith is seen? And of course, he then begins to explain how faith is seen. So it isn't that contradiction, and I'm sure most of us are all agreed on that one. But faith has to produce something. And James shows us in verse 14 precisely that. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? So he is showing that faith and works are joined together, because true faith, a faith that saves you, a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a faith that is active, because our salvation and walk is active. That is why we are saved legally, and we are being saved as we walk daily and overcome and walk by faith. That is how the Bible presents it. Now, he raises a question. Can faith alone save, depending on how much we know? So he's saying, can faith save? Or is it dependent on the level of knowledge you have, understanding of the word, the light that you have, and so on? Of course, we can't forget that. One is reminded of the robbers that were crucified with Christ. To one, he said, this day you will see me in paradise. So he just had the faith there to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and within a few hours he was going to see him in glory. So what does it mean? What is it all about? Well, a lot of this is dependent on the fact of how long you have been saved, because so often these epistles that are written to believers, they're written to Christians, they're written to churches, to those saints who've been walking, some for many years, with the Lord, and they're also to help and encourage the saints also. So obviously James is raising here questions, because like often in fellowship and that, there can be problems. But notice what he reveals with regard to an active faith. It's in the analogy of that which is practical. How often have we said, Lord, the Lord will provide, or he is faithful? And these are true terms. God is faithful. God will provide. He does provide. How often have we said this to other brothers and sisters You know, the Lord's faithful brother, the Lord's faithful sister, stay in there, you know, have faith, believe in God, and so forth. And all of that can have a place. But James also raises a question. Did that profit them? Did that help them? Did that do them any good? When you are fully aware of the situation or what they're going through. Now, of course, we're all called to pray and intercede. And our intercessions, brothers and sisters, have got to come to a place where when we get on our knees, when we pray, Lord, this could be me going through this right now. But it isn't. But I want to pray and intercede as though it is. That's when we start to really mean business in prayer. And we're translating our words into deeds. There are many ways that God is going to challenge our faith and get us into situations where we act our faith. Sometimes God does this. I just sense at the moment in what we're going through as an assembly that God is really getting us to a place where we're having to actually act our faith. Words are not always enough. And we certainly are blessed with words. We listen to teachings twice a week. But unless what we are hearing and these teachings are being translated into an active faith, then we have really, really missed out on what this is all about. And in fact, it's quite fearful in the fact of the light and knowledge that we're receiving. So God will provide. God is faithful, but that provision, that faithfulness of God, has eventually to be seen. Otherwise, who will walk this walk? What evidence, what witness do we give? Does the church give? What light will it have? It's simply hearers but not doers of the work. We need to be very careful on some of these practical things that come along, and often they come almost daily. Sometimes it's best that we just keep silent, or maybe we just say, I can't fully understand what you're going through, but I am going to get into prayer and intercession. But sometimes we need to be on our guards. For example, someone may say to you, a brother or sister, my car has broken down and I need to get to work. What do we do at that point? Well, brother, I'm going to get in prayer for you. I pray that your car will be soon repaired and you'll be able to get it back on the road and you'll be able to get back to work, little realizing that probably he needs to go to work today. It could present problems. He could be reprimanded or he could lose his job. When you have the wherewithal just to jump in the car and take that brother or sister to work. Again, it's simple, but it's practical. And this is the sort of thing the book of James is referring to. Or it might be essential, say, for your son or daughter to walk to school because he simply needs exercise. He needs to walk instead of keep taking them in the car. But many parents take children short distance in the car, and they do it because they're in fear in case they're going to be molested or something's going to happen to them, instead of believing that the blood of Jesus is going to preserve your child walking to school, which is going to be good exercise. Again, these are all areas where our faith is active, and yet we can be so bound and held in these areas. Sometimes we have to use wisdom. Sometimes we have to be sensible. For example, let's look to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. What does he say also in James chapter 3 and verse 13? Turning back to the book of James, James chapter 3 and verse 13, he says something here interesting. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So who's wise? It's what God is saying tonight. Who's wise amongst all of us? Are we really listening? Are we understanding? Let him then show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness and in wisdom. So our faith, our works, all of this is to be done in meekness and in wisdom. And it is wise sometimes to know how God is leading in a situation. Sometimes people go through difficulties. Sometimes some go through, say, financial difficulties. But maybe those financial difficulties are because they're spending their money on the wrong things. This again is where the prosperity teaching went wrong, because it gave the appearance that God was somehow like some spiritual Santa Claus, just giving out. They took the faith and prosperity as a means of then what they need, what they want, what I want to buy, being able to keep up with the Joneses, being able to look like the world and act like the world. That's not how God works. And some fell into that problem. Now, are you going to finance that situation when they find at the end of the month they haven't got enough money because they've spent their money unwisely? And most of their money they spent is actually on themselves. I'm going to raise a question, brothers and sisters, on what we're blessed with each month. How much of that actually just goes on self, what you want? It's a very good question that we need to raise and answer, and to be absolutely honest before God. And it isn't to say that God doesn't bless us. Indeed he does, but it's the motive. And so there can be problems with regards to faith. Faith isn't working at that point. A lack of wisdom and understanding and how to apply faith is working instead. So there are some things that you can't help because it won't edify. But there are certainly many, many, many other things that we can apply and help, certainly in a practical way, by acting our faith, helping other people. And if we desire to act our faith, God is going to show how we can act our faith in the most practical ways. And very often in nature, many of them are to help others, those who are down, those who are going through trial or difficulty or whatever it is. One has a wonderful way of just being able to move alongside and be able to help and act your faith in a practical way. And this, of course, is the very thing that the book of James is trying to establish here. There are always needs. There are always needs in the house of God. There are always where brothers and sisters are going through a difficult time or whatever it is. But we're all supposed to be one in fellowship. And when one suffers, we all suffer. And we have every advantage there to act our faith as the Holy Spirit leads. Why do we do that? Because it could be me going through that situation. We all tend to think we're exempt of it, or it can only be my brother or sister that's just going through that trial. No, no, no. We don't know what lies around the corner tomorrow. We don't know what trials we're going to go through. And boy, I don't know about you, but I am so grateful that God has got some saints who are in faith and do act their faith. I tell you, God knows how to work fellowship in the house of God. He knows how to do it. He knows how to bring that unity and oneness, that love. Jesus' faith was so practical when he walked the earth. Many of the miracles were in the sense to provide, to help, to better the people, to give them some comfort or give them food for their bellies or where there was sickness, that they may be restored. He had a faith that was moved and motivated by the Father's love. And that is the tragic problem that love so often lacks with our faith. And this is why God is allowing us to go through the trials that we're going through, bringing us to the end of ourselves so that we're totally abandoned upon Him. But those trials, brothers and sisters, are really working the love and compassion and mercy of God in our hearts, because love, faith works by love, as the scriptures tell us. Now, what does it say back in verse 18 of James chapter 2? But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Well, some say she calls herself a Christian, but I see more help and compassion coming out of people in the world than I do through that person who calls herself a believer and a Christian. How often have we heard that one? How often has the enemy exposed that one and used it? And at times we simply have to bow our head in shame. But you know, brothers and sisters, there are people out in the world who don't call themselves Christians, and yet look what they do. Look what they do. And we can so easily say, ah, yes, but they don't do it unto the Lord. They like to show what they're doing and so forth. There are a lot of people also who do things behind the scenes. They don't blow their trumpet. One has to ask a question. Will they be the first that will enter into the kingdom of heaven before some of us? None of us can sit back in a complacent manner. We're all of us overcomers, pressing in. But none of us can be complacent. And so we need to constantly be on our guard and desire within our hearts that our faith is a faith that's active, And the only way it's ever going to be active is when you ask for it. This is why we ask amiss. We ask for the wrong things. But if you want to come before God and say, Father, I want a faith that is active. I want a faith that will meet the needs. I want a faith that will help. I can't believe God will block his ears to that. In fact, you know God will answer such a prayer. And that's where it all starts, brothers and sisters. But James says, you have not because you ask not. We ask amiss. We're asking for too many things, for self, me, I. And that's why Jesus said, self has to be crucified daily. And that's why we take up our cross daily and follow him. So that the self-life can be crucified. So that the life of God, the life of Christ in us, can reach out to a dying world. God doesn't want our ideas. He doesn't want our good works. He doesn't want those things. He simply wants empty vessels who are yielded over to the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. That is what our faith is about. God knows we can't do these things in ourselves. He knows that. But that is where God gets the glory. This is why Jesus constantly revealed where his power lied, where he was able to heal and deliver, where he was able to feed the people. He said, I do none of these things myself, but it's what the Father shows me. It is the Father that does these things in and through me, and it is exactly the same for a believer. Christ in us now, the hope of glory. It is as we decrease that he increases. That is what it's all about. Yet we've got a gospel today that wants to promote nothing but self and the self-ego. That is not the gospel. We will never see a change. We will never see breakthroughs until the life of Christ is seen in and through his church, his body. It's not our body. It's not my church. It's his church. And we stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And the works that the church produces by faith are his works being worked in and through us as we yield over to the Spirit. But most don't want to yield to the Spirit. It's too big a cost. That pride, that self-ego, doesn't want to submit to God's ways. Why? Because God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. But if we stay with it, God will work it. He knows at times we have a problem with his ways. He knows at times that we argue with him and that we find it difficult. But God will work it. If we just yield to the Spirit, we'll find that he'll work it in and through us. That is what faith is about. That is the rest of faith that Hebrews speaks of. And also what the book of James is speaking about. Now, if we turn back and look at verse 19 onwards, he says here in verse 19, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Anyone can talk faith. You've got great talkers around. You've got great orators. You've even got many, many preachers and teachers. But not all of them are showing works of faith. They reveal that they don't show works of faith. I'll just give you one example. how that they put so many Christians under condemnation in having to give, and all they're fundamentally doing is begging behind the pulpit to support their ministries, and fill you with all those lies that God loves a cheerful giver, and that if you give, God will give back a hundredfold to you, and that you will prosper. The only one that's prospering is the one that's begging for it. Why cannot Christians see this? Because they don't want to believe it. It is not how God has saved us. We've just seen some go off out of the room at that statement that I've just made because they couldn't take it. Because they'd rather have their ears itched. They want to hear things they want to hear. But we today, brothers and sisters, now have got a breed of Christianity, that's what it calls itself, where if the minister or ministry is prospering, then that's a clear sign it's of God. That is how depraved a lot of professing Christianity has come. But praise God, he's opening our eyes. He's showing us. He's showing us what is false. And this is why, brothers and sisters, the devil doesn't like us. This is why he's trying to destroy us. But he won't. He won't. Because praise God, there is a faith that is active. A faith that is beginning to move. A faith that is beginning to move forward and say, like Joshua and Caleb, we're well able to take the giants of the land. We will not be denied. Praise God. Hallelujah. And let's carry on in verse 19, where he gives two great analogies of practical faith in demonstration. And he says in verse 21, and was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. So we see there that our works perfects faith. And our faith has to come to perfection. That degree of perfection that God is looking for from each one of us. Now, most of us will never, of course, be called to do what Abraham was called to do. Because we each of us all have an individual walk before God. But you are being worked on by the same God and Holy Spirit who was working with Abraham, working with you, perfecting your faith by your works. The very fact that we're staying with it, enduring to the end, is also perfecting our faith. When many times we've just felt like giving up and going back. And it goes on, of which I'm basing this teaching tonight. And you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I mean, look here, Rahab. She's not only a harlot, but she hides those spies, and as a result of those spies, who are godly men, that has saved her. That is amazing. She's not been listening to the gospel, to the preaching of the word of God, but something within her has reached out and seen that the God that is with Israel is a greater God than the gods that she's seeing around her. And on a result of that, She was justified, and we will see her there in glory. Look what faith can do. Even just the mustard seed of faith, what it can do. Absolutely amazing. And that's why those who just walk and debate and argue about faith, very few of those will ever make it into the kingdom of God. And yet, so much of Christianity is producing that type of thing. Why, brothers and sisters, if you've never gone into some of the rooms on Pal Talk here, I suggest you just go into them and you'll see exactly what, sadly, Christianity is producing. But those with pride, they're going to have a problem with this, because so often the acts of faith is ministering to the down and outs, to the highways and the byways, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the Rahabs. And that's what James is speaking about. He's not trying to elevate it. He's not trying to make it all nice and palatable to us. He's showing us how faith acts. And faith will reach out to the vilest of sinners. The acts of faith and charity and good works will help some of the most awful people in the natural, that in the natural you would just look away from. But faith will reach out in whatever way faith knows how to reach out. These are the sort of things God is making us in Full Gospel Assembly. There's no room for any of us with pride, snobbery, any of those things. We're all a product of God's grace. We were all, before we came to Christ, the most vilest of sinners. We were criminals condemned to hell. There is no room for favoritism. There is no room for those who maybe look nice or look good or with it, how they dress, how they come over, how they act. We don't make more of any others or whatever it would be. If we want to see God bringing people into this church, he's going to bring all sorts in. And no way do we have things in common with a certain few because they look like me or act like me or are educated like me. There's no room for it, brothers and sisters. As we have seen how God has removed some over the years, it's a fearful thing. Our faith, our simple faith in Christ, is going to reach out and act in the way that it knows how to act. And you won't have to look. You won't have to say, how can I act my faith today, Lord? If faith is there, that mustard seed of faith is there, then that faith will know how to act, when the needs, and so on. This is why I always say, you don't have to look for anything in this walk. You don't have to look for demons, they'll find you. You don't have to look for trials, the trials will make sure that they're there at the right time to perfect and to work a godly nature in all of us. You don't have to look for any of it. God has it under complete control. But what we are to look to is that we have a faith that is being perfected by also our works. And only you know before God whether you have a faith that is practically working as well. And if it is, there are clear signs your faith, my faith, is being perfected. And that is what the book of James is about. It is not contradictory. It is not saying that you can only be justified if you do good deeds, good works. It is saying both are needed and both are important. Let none of us deceive ourselves, brothers and sisters. Let's have a faith that is working, a faith that can believe God, a faith that can see those mountains removed, a faith that can believe for the impossible, because God is really beginning to test our faith now in this assembly in many ways and forms. And if you're not seeing that, or you're not understanding, or you're saying, well, whatever is the pastor talking about, then I'm not sure you're fully understanding. But if we really heard tonight with our hearts, I think we're going to put an amen to it, the same as I have. And I simply bring to you what God would have me to share. I know sometimes it's difficult. It's not always easy. And the enemy doesn't like it. And the enemy clearly didn't want me to preach this tonight. But they're the trials that I go through. And very often, when the enemy's on your back or he's trying to stop you, it's a clear indication blessings on the way. It's a clear indication that God has got an important message for us that's going to deliver us and bring us ever closer to Jesus. Because that's what it's all about, isn't it? So let's rise up with that gift of faith that God has given to us, because it is a gift. It's nothing that you earned or deserved or worked for. It's graciously given to us. But like all gifts, they have to be used and have to be perfected, the same as we're being perfected and our characters are being perfected. Everything is being perfected in God's sight. That's how he works. He works things to perfection. That's why he's a miracle working God. And for our faith to glorify him, it works in the most practical way. Heavenly Father, thank you again tonight. Thank you that we need to be reminded of what our faith is about. Father, make us sensitive in our walk each day. Help us to be open and not run away, turn our head the other way to a need or something, Father, where we know our faith can reach out and help in that situation. Lord, please help us. Help us to be real. To be real before you. Help us, Father, to apply our faith with wisdom. We have to face the fact we are not really walking by faith, but they're seeing their faith is for themselves, what they want, their own pride. That is not what it's for. It's not what it's been given for. And Lord, I pray that you'll deliver all of us if we're still bound or held in that way in spirit. Help us to apply our faith in wisdom and that knowledge and that understanding. Sometimes, Father, if we're not to help in a practical way, then what it means is we're to really pray and intercede. And so, Father, I thank you again tonight. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to pray and intercede for our brother in India. We're able to pray and intercede for each other. And, Lord, we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you, Father, that you draw us week after week to come and to listen to your word, to get changed, to get delivered. As you said, Father, in your word, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Lord, we're not even to consider those things. The birds and the animals, they don't even consider. They know where all those practical things are going to come day after day. How much more we who are made in your image. But help us, Lord, to look to the things that pertain to the kingdom. The real things, Father. The things that build. Build for eternity. Lord, we're growing up. We're not babes anymore. Please help us, Father. Whatever it takes, by your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Cradled in the